Good morning. Today we are going to look at natural hazards connected with the oceans. As you know, more than two-thirds of the Earth's surface is covered by water, and the greatest hazards at sea and along the coast are caused by waves. Now, waves can be measured in various ways. So, first of all, I want to clarify a few of the terms we are going to use. If you could just turn to the diagram on page 82. Right, now you see the waves running across the centre. And the seafloor at the bottom? Okay. Well, the highest point of the wave is called the crest. Remember the saying, to be on the crest of the wave. To be successful, yeah? Then, the important measurement, wavelength, which is the distance between the highest point of one wave and the next. Wavelengths can vary enormously from a few metres to hundreds of kilometres, believe it or not. So far, so good. What else? There's wave period, which isn't marked because this is the measurement of time. This is the time between one crest passing and the next. Then, the lowest point of the wave is called a trough. Can you see that? That leaves a wave's height, which is the measurement of the vertical distance between the crest of the wave and the trough. And finally, depth, which I'm sure you know is the distance between the mean sea level and the seabed. Right, well, most waves are produced by the effect of wind. But the most destructive waves are not in fact wind-generated. These are the famous tsunami. The word tsunami is, by the way, a Japanese word for harbour wave. The majority of tsunami are the effect of earthquakes which occur under the seabed, although a few are also caused by underwater volcanic eruptions. Most tsunami, that is between 80 and 90%, take place in the Pacific Ocean. That is because the majority of the Earth's earthquakes happen in that ocean in the so-called Ring of Fire. While they are at the open sea, tsunami waves are generally quite small, rarely more than half a metre high, in fact, which usually surprises people. It's only when they reach the shore that tsunami waves reach that enormous heights. As a matter of interest, the largest tsunami ever recorded was 64 metres high. That was in Russia in 1737. It's also worth noting that tsunami have an extremely long wavelength. In the Pacific Ocean, for example, the average wavelength is 480 kilometres. The low height and long wavelength make it so difficult to detect tsunami in the open sea. The deeper the water, the faster the tsunami travels. And in the Pacific, they can reach speeds up to 700 kilometres an hour. In 1960, a tsunami generated by an earthquake in Chile reached Japan in only 22 hours. Let's look at another example now. The 1964 tsunami, which hit Crescent City in far north of California. This was caused by an earthquake which happened in Alaska 4.5 hours earlier. The first two waves only hit the area around the harbour, but the third washed inland for a distance of 500 metres. It flooded 30 city blocks and destroyed a number of one-storey buildings. Luckily, there'd been enough warning for the people to evacuate the low-lying areas to the seashore. But the city authorities learned an important lesson, and they took steps to prevent the worst damage from happening ever again. They turned the main risk area into a public park and relocated all the businesses on higher ground. Incidentally, this approach has also been taken in Hawaii and Japan. Now, before we'd finish, I'd just like to...